Everybody good? Happy Father's Day, fathers. Glad that you are here. Are you ready to worship this morning? I want to read to you. You know, I understand that when we, you know, Father's Days and Mother's Day, different things like that, we can be different for different people. I was blessed with an amazing father, and so I see it from that perspective. But I know not all of us had that in this world. But we all have a heavenly Father that loves us and that is merciful to us. Doesn't require us to be perfect or even good. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's the Father that we have. So I want to read to you, I preached on this just a couple of months ago, Luke chapter 15. We know this as the prodigal son. Jesus is telling this parable. So the son, he goes out and he squanders his inheritance. And then he comes to his senses, it says, and it says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. That's the heavenly Father that we have, that even though we mess up, when we come to our senses, when we return to him, he stands ready to embrace us. Isn't that good news, church? That we have that kind of a heavenly Father. So as we celebrate this Father's Day, let's worship that Father, that heavenly Father, that good, good Father that we will sing about today. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. We are undeserving of your mercy, but you poured out on us anyway. When we return to you, you kill the fatted calf. You put a robe on our shoulders and a ring on our finger and sandals on our feet. You restore us to the family. And we rejoice in that. We rejoice in who you are and how you love us. So now may you send your Holy Spirit into this place as we worship. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. May our hearts and our praises please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to rise if you're able as we worship.
Yeah. Children can come forward for the children's song.
How are y'all? Y'all good? Okay. All right. Okay, just a second. Let me talk to Emma. All right. I just need to tell Miss Kirby something real quick. How's everybody today? Are you excited to be here? Are you excited to be here? Okay. Well, what is today? Can y'all tell me what today is? What? Father's Day. Can y'all say Happy Father's Day? Day. Well, that's great. Well, I'm super excited that y'all are here today. And we are going to talk just a few minutes about what happened this week. What happened this week? Earlier this week, what did we have? What? VBS, that's right. We had VBS. So we're going to have a video show. We're going to have a video slideshow to show everybody how much fun everybody had. And we're going to talk about that for just a few minutes. So, yeah, as you just said, we just finished monumental VBS, and it definitely was monumental. We celebrated God's greatness. God is so great, isn't he? God loves us no matter what, right? And God is with us everywhere, and that God is stronger than anything. Say, hey, Mom. Okay, there you go. So God is great, and we celebrated that. And so we celebrated this last week. We had 304 kids here through the building. Woo! Lots of kids. We had 102 leaders. So that's a total of 406 people in the building. And if there was other people, we may have missed them, but I don't think we did. So our church was filled with lots of kids and lots of fun, and it was singing and worshiping and praising God and learning God's truth and playing games and eating snacks, right? Did y'all have fun? And I know some of you didn't get to come, but that's okay, and because we still have fun in children's church and Sunday school and all that, right? Yeah, so we're going to talk, and then we're going to watch a video here in a few minutes. But, you know, we learned this week that God is so good, and that he is awesome, and that we can celebrate. Do we celebrate God today? Yes. Do we celebrate God to every day? Yes, we need to celebrate. And so Miss Teresa is going to tell us about our offering that we collected this week, okay?
All right. Our mission project was Operation Christmas Child. And on Sunday, as well as the fourth and fifth graders, on Tuesday and Wednesday, we packed 200 boxes for Operation Christmas Child. And the kids collected a donation during Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we did a little competition, boys against girls, to see who can bring in the most donations. And it was to cover the shipping costs as well as the greatest journey that's given with each shoebox to teach them about Jesus. And I am proud to say that the excitement was great. It was amazing. And we had the biggest competition between boys and girls. We screamed loud. We got excited. And the boys brought in $717. And we got excited and we yelled a lot and it was very exciting. And the girls brought in $731, $14 more than the boys, which gave us a grand total of $1,449 to ship those shoeboxes. And we're going to have a video now for you to watch and enjoy some of Vacation Bible School with us.
God's love never fails and it lasts forever. Our God is great, our God is great. My God is with me, yes, he's with me wherever. Our God is great, our God is great. He's an awesome God, bigger than my wildest dreams. Monumental love, eternal.
What a great week that we had, just celebrating God's greatness. And we are just rejoicing with all these kids that came in and learned about God's greatness and God's truth. And so we are excited. So remember to celebrate God every day. Can y'all celebrate God? All right. So, Mr. Daniel, will you come and pray for me? No? No? No, thank you. Okay. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you love us and just bless us as we move through today. And we thank you that we came and celebrated. And we thank you for the children, all the kids that came this week and for the leaders that helped. And I pray that as these kids came, that they learned that you are great and mighty and that your love is everlasting, Lord, and that you can do all things, Lord. We just thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So that was my grandson that was asked to pray, and he said, no, thank you. Raise up a child in the ways of the... No, never. He was polite. I said, no, thank you. Glad that you are with us this morning. You are our guest. We are especially glad that you are here and with us. I hope you feel the Holy Spirit here. I hope you feel the love of Christ and his people here. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe, and it says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but at the end of the service, I will be out at this end of the foyer, and we'd love to meet you and have a free gift for our guests. I just rejoice, you know, with the VBS that we had this week. We just kind of mentioned some of that. But as I walk around during VBS, I don't know what blesses me more, all the children or all the servants serving the children. It's just a real blessing to see all of that. And so we had a great week. Chris Wingert will be preaching today. Chris is, we're sending, not yet, hold on. We're sending Chris out. He will be the new pastor at Elmwood West United Methodist Church, which is the church I grew up in, and Cheryl and I both grew up in and met in the youth group there. So don't mess it up, Chris. Don't mess it up, man. Ryan, is Ryan back there? Did he leave? A different Ryan. Ryan, it's your birthday today too, right, buddy? Happy birthday. Awesome. So I want to spend just a second with our fathers. If you are a father, I would invite you to stand where we can recognize you. All right, stay standing for just a second. So I appreciate all you dads. As I said earlier, I had a great father, and it's a blessing when you love your kids well. So if go ahead, y'all be seated. We're going to do one more thing here. So if you have three or more kids, if you'll stand up. Three or more. stay standing if you have four or more. Weeding them down. Five or more. Oh, this is going to be a tight race. Six or more. Oh, my goodness. Stephen, how many? Six? We're going to pray for you, buddy. All right. If you traveled more than 30 minutes to be here this morning, I invite you to stand? I think I know who's going to win this one. How about if you traveled more than an hour? Go ahead and just tell us how many. 2 hours? Okay. I had my brain was in Illinois or wherever. So where did you come from? Okay. All right. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Our fathers, we will make a loving and generous donation to the men of Nehemiah in your honor. That's what's going to happen. That's a great ministry, and I hope that you're aware of that ministry. If not, get familiar with it, because it's a really great ministry. So we're going to spend some time this morning in prayer, and I want our prayer focus to be on our fathers. But before we do that, I invite you to stand if you're able as we recite this creed, this Apostles' Creed that's been shared for close to 2,000 years, Christians all over the world. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll just spend just a moment just telling the Lord how you feel about him, just thanking him that he is indeed a good, good, and merciful Father. Father, you are so good to us. Sometimes we just wonder why you are even mindful of us. And we're humbled that you are. We thank you, Father, that no matter what we face, that you are with us. You are a good and merciful and loving God. Father, thank you for sharing our fathers with us. We especially on this day, we want to honor them. And Father, if that is a difficult thing for someone, if their earthly father did not somehow measure up to what they should have been, I pray that this day would be a day of forgiveness and renewal in their spirit. Father, help us to see them the way you see them. Father, you are our model. You are our example. You are our inspiration. Teach us to love as you love. Teach us to see as you see. Father, we're just grateful for the role of the Father that you've placed. Father, the fathers in this room right now, would you raise us up? Would you raise us up to be godly men in our marriages, in our families, with our children, with our grandchildren? Would you raise us up to love as you love, to be an example? And as Father, if there's anything that would hinder us from that, we pray that you would break that off in us. Again, and through the power of your Spirit, may we be what you've called us to be as fathers and as husbands. As we pray this prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, we are mindful of how you referred to your Heavenly Father and how you prayed to him as Abba, Daddy. This personal, intimate relationship. May we relate to you in that way as we pray this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, we've started something new today. At each exit door,
There is a box for your offering that you can place your offering there during this next worship set or as you leave the sanctuary today. You can also still give online through our app or our website. Thank you.
You know, I was thinking about worship this week, and you know, worship at its core is really pretty simple. You know, God's on the throne, and He deserves all of our adoration. All of our affections should be towards Him. And I'm not saying we complicate things by our modern worship day experience. I mean, there's some great hymns I love. There's some contemporary songs I really love to sing. But if we look in the book of Revelation at worship that's taking place right now, it's really simple. It's short phrases that are being sung or maybe chanted. It's something that's repetitive. And it's fresh worship. We see 24 elders that are around the throne. They have crowns on their head. And when the angels in the mass sings, they fall on their face before the throne and they cast their crowns towards the throne, in a sense saying, I recognize the only reason I have this position is because You let me have it. And I think it's good for us sometimes just to sing something simple and repetitive. Here's a couple of songs that they're probably 40 years old. And I just encourage you to engage with the Lord as we sing these. And if you're comfortable or able to stand, I invite you to do that as well.
You are my master. Good morning, church. Good morning. I think I'm supposed to say this. Is this thing on? Will you join me in prayer, please? Father God, it's a fantastic day to be in your presence, to be in your church. Lord, just to be with your people. Father, I just pray a special blessing on fathers today. I pray that they may look to you, the great, glorious, and perfect Heavenly Father. Lord, now bless the time we have together. May it be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, they say that let a little child lead you. And so, in hindsight, when Jeff called me and said, would you like to preach today for Father's Day? Actually, he said for Mother's Day. But that's another story. But he said, would you like to preach for Father's Day? I wish I'd have thought what Daniel said. No, thank you. I just wasn't that quick. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I hope that y'all feel God's presence and the presence of the Holy Spirit today. It's wonderful for me to have the chance to be up here. I'm not used to being in this position. I'm missing my banjo here. You know, I've been fortunate to be on the praise team for a number of years. Always enjoyed that, but I realize how hard the praise team works. And y'all are so blessed to have such a talented and wonderful group leading us in worship. Also, we're blessed to have VBS. Wasn't that wonderful this week? Goodness gracious, I cannot imagine having that many kids and keeping up with them and everything else. Carlene and the staff just do a wonderful job here, and we're so blessed to have them. Let's give them a round of applause. And so, I'd like to speak a little bit about fathers today. Being an engineer, I tend to fall back on statistics, so you'll have to forgive me for that. But the U.S. Bureau of Statistics noted that there were 73 million children living in the United States. Now, can you imagine a VBS with that? 73 million kids? Oh, my goodness, what a mess. Of that, 15.3 million, or 21%, of them were living with a single mother. 21%. Of course, it's higher in certain areas of the United States. The Chicago Sun-Times recently had a commentary that noted 50.8% of all children living in Chicago are being raised in single-parent homes. 50.8, that's over half. It went on to say that children who have two parents in the home are 3.5 times less likely to live in poverty than those that are raised in single-family homes. Also, almost double the number of black Chicago kids who are raised by their mom alone get into trouble. Girls that grow up with their dads have lower rates of depression, they're more assertive, and they have fewer body image problems than those that are raised by single parents. And boys who grow up with their dads are more likely to be employed as adults, less likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, and less likely to act out in school. Now, before you say that I'm picking on single parents or single moms, let me tell you that I'm certainly not doing that. I know from my own experience with my daughter Kelly just how tough a job you single moms have. You've got to balance earning a living, daycare, meals, cleaning house, nurturing and tending to those little ones, all the time while maintaining your sanity. It's not an easy job. I know you're doing the very best you can to raise the next generation to love God and to succeed. But single motherhood is certainly not what God intended. God intended for fathers to play a key role in parenting, nurturing, and in guiding their families. The statistics we just went over are pretty sobering, and a reminder of just how important a father is in the home. And of course, since it's Father's Day, I'd like to say just a few words directed at the current and at the future fathers in the audience and those listening on live stream as well. First of all, do you ever think about the origin of a biblical family? Well, of course, Genesis tells us that God formed man, Adam, out of the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into him the breath of life. Genesis chapter 2, 19 to 20 tells us that the Lord formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. You know, he could have done without grackles, but that's another story. Out of all those he brought to Adam, there was no suitable helpmate found for him. So God went on to create woman out of man, bone from my bone, flesh of my flesh, to be his helper. And the couple was told to go forth, be fruitful, and to multiply. Genesis 2:15 states that the Lord God took man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of the Garden of Eden. So the father is responsible for providing for his family. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, it further tells us that the father is intended to be the head of his household, providing, protecting, teaching, leading not only his family, but doing all this with the help of his wife. It states, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church." Verse 25 goes on to say, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church." Now, that's a verse that we men kind of tend to gloss over a little bit, you know. We're big on the first part, the wives submit to the husband, but we kind of forget that part, which is so important. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Now, my point in this is not to stir up controversy between husbands and wives. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. My point is this. How can a man lead his family? How can a man love his wife if he's not physically present? And today, as we saw in the statistics, there's a whole lot of fathers that have checked out of society. So where have they gone? A while back, I wrote a poem about this called "What Really Makes a Man." Don't think that you're a daddy just because you got to her one night, or maybe lived together a year or two. You're gone now. You're chasing your dream of money, or the next girl, or the needle, or yourself. She's alone there with the one, two, or three precious children that you left behind. No, a daddy is earned through the privilege of providing for that family, through staying with and loving your wife and the mom, through being there at 3 a.m. to comfort that sick little one. A daddy is earned. A daddy is made up of the skin knees, the bedtime prayers, making sure they're in church, teaching them how to ride a bike, teaching them how to drive a car. It's made up in the prom dress, and it's made up in walking them down the aisle. And maybe, if you work hard enough, through all those years, and if you remain faithful, then you can claim the very best title of all, Granddaddy. Life is way too short to be selfish. Now, guys, maybe you're saying, "Hey, wait a minute, that's not me. You know, I've been here with my wife and my children. I'm doing my best to be a good husband and raise great kids." To you, seriously, I say, thank you. Keep up the good work. You are so vital in this and increasingly lost society. What you're doing is extremely important, not only for your wife, but for your children, and to be an example of God's intent for the family in an increasingly fallen world. You're serving as a leader of your family, just as God intended, and you're actively building integrity into those members of the next generation. But guys, we can all improve a little bit, can't we? So what are some key principles that make up a good father. First of all, and we've touched on this already, is to love your wife. Paul speaks of this to the church in Ephesus when he says, if y'all want to put that up on the screen, well, maybe not. You can look up in the Bible. It's Ephesians 5, 28 to 31, and here we go. Very good. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we're all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, most of us are familiar with that scripture. We've heard it before. Perhaps it was spoken at your wedding. But men, how many of us try to keep in shape? You know, we lift weights, we go running, we play sports. Occasionally, we'll eat the right things instead of that chicken fried steak. Yeah. We do other activities that minimize the impact that time is having on our bodies. Paul says that we should care and nurture for our wives as well, since they are really a part of us. The two will become one flesh. How do we do this? Well, take time to really listen to her. Don't just say, uh-huh, honey, uh-huh, uh-huh. Do that chore while she sits down for a little bit. Give her an extra hug. Give her a kind word. Give her that smile, or sometimes that gift, just because. Interestingly, Paul devotes twice as many words to the Ephesians telling their husbands to love their wives as he does telling their wives to submit to their husbands. Twice as many words. You know, perhaps that's because men are kind of hard-headed. Paul says that a man should be willing to sacrifice for his wife. He should make her well-being of primary importance to him. And he should care for her just as he cares for his own body. You know, if you do that, then you'll discover what I call the dichotomy of true love. And that's this. If you give your wife twice as much as you get, you will get from your wife twice as much as you give. Let me repeat that. If you give your wife twice as much as you get, you will get from your wife twice as much as you give. Kind of sounds like Yogi Berra, doesn't it? But I've found this principle to be very true. Husbands, if you make it a point to give to your wife and make a pattern of giving to your wife, you will find your wife reciprocating that. And in doing so, the two of you grow closer and closer and closer to becoming that one flesh that God intended. I encourage you to set a good example of how a godly man treats his wife and how he loves his wife. Why? Because one day, your son is going to be looking for a wife and going to be wanting to know how to treat that wife with respect and honor. And one day, and this will scare you to death, guys, daughters will need to know how to seek a godly man, one that will treat them with respect when he becomes their husband. Second, guys, you need to lead your children responsibly. Teach your children how to seek God. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Like many of you, I'm kind of a living example of this. I grew up in the church. I went to MYF in junior high and senior high, some of us that remember that. And then I drifted away from God during my college years. My spiritual foundation had already been laid, and it was there for me to come back to after I married my wife, Karen, and we started raising kids. Fathers, God designated you as the spiritual health head of your household. It is your responsibility, not Jeff's responsibility, not Carlene's responsibility, your responsibility to train your father in the spiritual matters. Fathers need to pass down scriptural wisdom to their children. How are their kids going to know the Bible and what's in the Bible if you don't encourage them to read it and don't teach them? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. That's Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7. Dads, don't just spend time with your kids. Spend quality time with your kids. Discuss biblical principles at age-appropriate levels. Answer those hard questions when they come up. And if you don't know the answer, then find out and make sure you get back to them. Now, discussions may be part of a bedtime ritual. They may be over a board game at the kitchen table. They may occur during a walk, while shooting hoops, or doing some other activity that both of you enjoy. The distractions of those activities keep a child from feeling like he's being lectured to, and they allow him or her to be open with their questions as they occur. Correct your children with loving discipline. Fathers, do not provoke or exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6:4. Now, we all know that parenting is not easy. I think the old Peace Corps advertisement had it wrong. It should have been parenting, the toughest job you'll ever love. It's hard to find patience, isn't it, sometimes, when you're pulled in so many directions by your family's needs, your job, your outside obligations, and society. Sometimes you tend to feel like, I've got one nerve left and you just trampled all over it. In those cases, I urge you to take a deep breath. Put yourself in time out and reassess the situation objectively after you've had time to calm down. Remember, the purpose of parental training is to help your children grow physically and spiritually in a safe and loving environment. Now, this sometimes does include discipline, but all should be done out of love, treating your children the way Jesus treats all of us. And finally, fathers, stay focused on your real job, that is your family. You may recall a few years back, Casting Crowns had a song called The American Dream. That song begins with, all work and no play have made Jack a dull boy, but all work and no God left Jack with a lost soul. The song goes on to tell about a man that is so focused on building his kingdom, that is, on his job and on getting life's material things, that he ignores his wife, ignores his children, to the point where he can't even sleep at night. The ending chorus of the song states, because he worked and he built with his own two hands, and he poured all he had in a castle made with sand, but the wind and the rain come crashing in. Time will tell just how long his kingdom stands. His kingdom stands. The song concludes with a haunting lament about his family. All they really wanted was you. All they really wanted was you. Fathers, raising a successful family requires your presence, your prayers, your gifts, and your service. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Requires your presence, your prayers, your gifts, your service to your wife. It requires your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service to your children. Now, we all have to work to provide for our families, and that's got to be done. But work is not a substitute for your family. You can't love your wife. You can't train up your children if you're always on the job or you're always at your office. All they really wanted was you. All they really wanted was you. Guys, being a father in today's world is not easy. There are so many temptations out there that can destroy you or your family. They can take away your integrity just by the click of a mouse. But you've got a Heavenly Father who will strengthen and guide you throughout this season of your life if you make Him the center of your priority. Stay focused on Him, and He will protect your integrity. He will help you to have patience when those kids get on your last nerve, and He will help you to better understand the needs of your spouse. Stay focused on Him, and He will provide a path of salvation that you can show the next generation. And fathers, that's your most important task, is to show your children and your spouse the way to salvation through Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know God as your Heavenly Father. Maybe you don't know the salvation that He provides you through His only Son, Jesus Christ. If that's the case, I encourage you to seek out Jeff after the service to begin your journey as a son of the Most High King, so you can better understand your role as a father. And that would make today the best Father's Day that you could ever have for you and your family. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank You for fathers. I thank You for the wisdom You've given them. I thank You for the guidance You give them, Lord. And I thank You for the tenacity that they have to stay in there with their families, to lead their families spiritually, and to walk the walk of integrity. Father God, I just pray that each and every father may have the strength as time goes by to be that godly life, light, that reflection of You to their families. Lord, I thank You for our time together. And most of all, I'd like to wish You, God, a happy Father's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to stand with us as we sing about this good, good Father. Sure.
tell your children. You're dismissed.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.